55.
No way,
said Zila.
Tesla's the electricity guy, right? Asked Roger. The one in the Prestige?
Now this is just silly, Mrs. Knight said.
No, it all makes sense, said Debbie. Her eyes were huge. She bounced on her toes and squeezed the index cards.
Vic, you said Kavach was Indian, right?
Marathi, yeah, but it's...
Debbie bounced again. Is that the same as Sanskrit? This was on the tip of my brain the other day. Tesla liked to give his projects Sanskrit names. What does it mean?
I think it means armor or maybe shield. It depends on context.
Her eyes went wide behind her glasses.
It's silly, said Mrs. Knight again. Tesla's a public figure. He couldn't have just snuck off to work on a secret project no one ever knew about.
But he did, said Nate.
Didn't he move out to Colorado because Thomas Edison burned down his lab or something?
Maybe it wasn't Edison, said Tim. It might have been the family trying to get him. He went to Colorado to get away from them.
Getting away from Edison was just a bonus, grinned Zila.
So now we know the names on the cornerstone, said Vic. And we know what the machine's supposed to do.
More or less.
So, just one last thing then, said Nate. Let's see what they've been hiding in apartment 14.
Excuse me, Mr. Rommel.
Oscar turned from the gate.
Yes, Mrs. Knight, what can I do for you?
She stood at the top of the stairs. She wore a bright red cardigan despite the summer heat and leaned on her cane. Her eyes were hidden from the afternoon light by a wide pair of sunglasses.
Are you heading to the store?
I am, he said. May I pick something up for you?
Mrs. Knight nodded.
I was wondering if you could get some white tea for me. I'd go myself, but my hip is killing me today.
She held up a $10 bill in a small box, folded flat.
This is the brand I like.
Oscar took the box and his brows shifted.
They have this at the corner store?
Mrs. Knight's face dropped.
Oh,
she said.
I thought you were going to the real store, the Vaughn's over on Vermont.
I had not planned to, he said.
Said Mrs. Knight. She held out her hand for the box.
Well, never mind then. I'm sure I'll be fine tomorrow and...
Oscar shook his head.
Not at all, he said. It is a nice day for a walk and the Vaughn's will have better prices. Besides,
he winked and patted his broad stomach,
I can always use the exercise.
You're too kind, she said. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, he said. I will be back in an hour or so with your tea.
He gave her a little bow of his head and headed out the gate. Mrs. Knight headed inside. Nate, Vic, and Debbie watched from the second floor window as Oscar headed down the street.
He's such a gentleman, said Debbie. I feel kind of bad tricking him like this.
He's the one keeping secrets, said Vic.
You know, said Nate, I'm not even sure he knows.
Debbie looked over her shoulder at him.
Really?
Nate shrugged.
Think about it. He's a middle management guy. He's just doing the job he was hired to do. They tell him to keep people from snooping around and causing problems. It doesn't mean he knows why. Like a security guard at CIA headquarters or something.
I don't know, Vic said. He always seems like he's hiding a lot to me.
Yes, said Mrs. Knight from the stairwell. He hasn't told us our building is an earthquake-causing apocalypse prevention machine. That definitely makes him the bad guy.
Nate and Vic headed down the hall to join everyone else at apartment 14. Tim looked up from the padlocks.
I can have them all off in 5 minutes, he said. The older ones are a different system. Haven't tried something like that in years.
Vic tilted her head.
The old ones are going to take longer than the new ones?
He slid out his picks.
They will if you don't want it obvious they were opened.
Let's do it, said Nate. Time's a-wasting.
Just waiting on you, boss, said Tim.
A few quick movements and the top lock popped off.
You'd think the modern ones would be harder, Nate said.
Nah.
Tim hooked the open loop of the lock through his belt.
The core of most modern padlocks are pretty much all the same, even though they dress them up with big steel casings.
His tools slid into the bottom lock, and the pick did its dance. The second lock snapped open, and he hung it on the opposite hip. Zila marched down the hall with a gallon bucket hanging from her hand. A paint-streaked backpack was slung over her other shoulder.
"We lucked out," she said. "This one's almost full."
Clive pushed open his door so she could hide her supplies inside his apartment. He looked at the bucket.
"You're sure you can fix all this when we're done?"
"It's just paint," Zila said. "Paint's my thing, a little bit of texturing and I can make it pass. 30 minutes tops, maybe a little less if we run some extension cords and I get a hairdryer or two on it."
"Are you sure?" asked Vic.
"If someone stops and studies it, yeah, it might not hold up," Zila said. "But for anything else, it'll be fine. And once they slap another coat over it, it'll be perfect."
Tim switched to a different tool, a thick wire he pushed into the first of the pirate padlocks. He pushed down on the handle, shifted it, and pushed again. He bit his upper lip, tweaked his grip, and applied pressure a third time. The riveted padlock swung open with a heavy clunk. He hung it on a belt loop and bent to the last one, just beneath the doorknob. A minute later, it was on his waist. He'd hung them in order, left to right, along his belt. Nate used a screwdriver to pry the overpainted hasps off the door and fold them back. He took hold of the knob and twisted. Decades of paint stretched and twisted. Something shifted and he held a ragged latex pouch wrapped around the glass knob. He pulled it off and twisted the knob again. It was resistant, as if the inside latch was carrying a lot of weight. The door didn't budge.
"Paint in the cracks," said Vic. "It's pretty much glued shut."
Nate studied the seams. "Don't suppose anyone's got a knife on them?" A mat knife slapped into his hand.
"Don't mess up the blade," said Zila. "It's my last one, and I need it to trim off all the loose edges you're leaving."
"I'll do my best."
"Got a bigger one in my place if you need it," said Roger.
Zila beamed at him.
"Are you arguing size with me now, sweetiekins?"
"Don't even," he said, shaking his head.
Nate crouched, flicked open the blade, and plunged it into the blobs of paint between the door and the frame. It was like working through half-dried gum. The knife slit some sections, stretched out others. He worked his way down the seam. He was reminded of an autopsy video and the long incision down the torso. The paint came apart like cold flesh. He paused to rest his hand and looked over his shoulder. Vic, Tim, Zila, and Roger leaned against the wall and watched him. Clive stood in the doorway of his apartment.
"Don't everybody help all at once," Nate said.
"You're the one with the knife, Shaggy," said Vic.
She held up her phone and snapped a picture of him.
"For our exploration album."
"I've got another mat knife," Clive said. "Give me a minute."
Nate shook out his fingers and attacked the paint again. He'd finished the long edge from floor to ceiling by the time Clive came back. He started on the top seam. He wasn't halfway across the width of the door when his shoulders started to ache. Clive crouched on the floor with a bright green knife. He sank the blade into the paint at the base of the door and dragged it toward the hinged edge. The paint opened up and some of it broke off in ragged clumps. It took another few minutes for them to do the whole outline of the door. Nate handed his mat knife back to Zila. She eyed the blade and gave him a playful scowl.
"This is why we can't have nice things," she said.
He smirked and looked at Vic. "How are we for time?"
"Oscar's probably halfway to the store," she said. "We've got maybe 45 minutes tops, say 15 minutes before Zila needs to start cleaning up after us."
Zila saluted. Nate set his hand on the knob.
"Okay then," he said. "Let's call it 10 minutes to see what's in here, get as many photos as we can, and get out. No matter how cool, no matter how weird, we're out in 10 minutes. Agreed?"
Zila held up her camera. Vic held up her phone. A scattering of confirmations came back to him. He turned the knob. Again, it dragged as if someone was holding the knob on the other side and resisting. Then he felt a click as the latch passed the locking plate. The door yanked open. Nate's fingers were so tight on the knob it tugged him forward. Then he lost his balance and his grip got even tighter as he tried to stop his fall. The door swung all the way into apartment 14. Someone, something, shoved him from behind. His feet left the ground and it took a moment to realize they weren't coming back down. Nate spun around in the air and his only constant was the doorknob. He threw his other hand up and managed to grab the knob on the other side, the inside of the door. He got a glimpse of the walls of the apartment and saw they were painted black. The air conditioner was on full blast. The air in the apartment was frigid to the point it nipped at his skin and bit at his eyes. It rushed and howled around him. Zila was next to him. She wrapped her arms around him and screamed. She slid down to his waist, and a naughty thought stood out amongst all the chaos. Then he realized she was being dragged away from him. The air wasn't rushing out of 14. It was rushing in. He looked down at Zila. She had his legs in a death grip, digging into his thighs with her fingernails. He could see she was still screaming, but he couldn't hear her over the roar of air washing past them. Her legs flailed behind her. One of her sneakers flipped off her foot and spun away. In the distance, past Zila's feet, he could see a brilliant shape of light, a fiery basketball with a swollen blister on it. It hurt to look at it. Apartment 14 had no walls. It went on forever in every direction. Pinpricks of color like distant Christmas lights studded the expanse of darkness. They were in space.